everybody, and welcome back. It's Nick and Rob, your co-hosts for this week's episode of Geekable Podcast, the geekiest show in this reality dedicated to hosting passionate people, discussing our excitement for comics old and new, talking what's hot in the industry, and of course, all things MCU, DCU. If you enjoy this show, please hit that subscribe or follow button so you don't skip a beat. Now, Rob, we have a action-packed. This is one of the most exciting episodes we've had in recent memory. I mean, so much X-Men comic news. A lot at the end. We're going to break this up in basically two parts here for you to digest. We got X-Men comic news from the start, which is kick-ass news. And then we have some pop culture news, which is just a litany of awesomeness. So I'm really excited for this episode. How are you doing today, man?
I'm kind of a little bit disappointed of how many puns you missed for this intro. So this is an X-Men related one. You're exciting, exponentially exciting, groundbreaking, an X-rated episode. Some excellent topics.
There we go. I think you covered
it. Oh my God.
Oh, that's no, there we go. Hey, I'm not a dad yet, so dad humor hasn't set in. I know you're like
I have ascended dad humor to just like, yes, God. I am a god of humor now. When you reach this, it's just everything you say, people laugh at you. No matter what you say, your child laughs at you.
I'll get there one day.
Hey, no,
I'll get there one day.
Oh, you will. Without a doubt. I want to get one bit of Negatron stuff out of the way before we, while we're getting on the X-Men topic.
Yeah.
Marvel made a big deal about killing and resurrection Kamala Khan, right? Okay. Last year, there, okay, or 2 years ago. I thought she would at least end up on one of the main rosters of X-Men.
Wow, that's actually a really, really good point. That's a really good point.
How much publicity, backlash, complaining, all did we get?
Wow.
Now, I'm not saying like that, but no, realistically, X-Factor, X-Force, Generation X, Phoenix, NYX, and those other ones, they're not the top tier. They're not the top tier titles.
Like, no, they're not.
You join Generation X to get up to, or the New Mutants, to get onto the X-Men roster, and she's not there.
Yep.
So that's what I'd be interested to see. Like, how has she been downgraded, or are they going to give her own thing? That was my
But I
am excited about X-Men. Like, I was really excited to see all those reveals.
So let's break it down here, guys. At the time of recording this yesterday, huge X-Men news dropped. For those maybe out of the loop trying to catch up, Tom Brevoort, who is basically the editor in chief now for all things X, he's basically head of X at this point. He is coming on with basically a revamp post-Krakoan age. So this is going to be a great time for new readers to jump on, old-time readers. You know, there's a lot of excitement here. All eyes are on the X-Men right now. So there's going to be three main titles. There's no anchor. There's no one anchor series, right? All three are equally as important, is how it's being pitched to us. So we're going to break it down for you.
Yeah.
You don't like that? Uh-oh.
Well, no, it's just, no, it's not that I don't like it. It's that, I hope it doesn't go the way of Web of Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man, Spider-Man, A Spectacular Spider-Man in the 90s, where
that's
was like, my God, like completing those runs, you realize, okay. Like at every like month or two, there was a four-part crossover. I mean, I get what they're saying, that they want to show like each one is just as important as the others. And I'll let you get back on your track in a second. Sorry.
This is awesome.
From the trailer they released, because it's funny, I think when we had Mike Schwartz on, The Power of the Schwartz, Get Armored, it was a case of, we said, what are they going to do? Rebuild Xavier's school for youngsters? And it looks like they're recommissioning it into something.
Yeah.
And they are doing something with it, but they look like they're acknowledging the fall of Krakoa, which I'm good with. Because like I've said before, X-Men are cyclical.
Let's hope.
Like they have paradise, they're hated, and they find their way again. I'm glad Juggernaut's getting a run.
Let's break this down, because we're going to go through the teams, because that was one of the biggest things I wanted to talk to you about was Juggernaut. Let's start with, you know, like I said, all three titles are the same and equally as important. At least that's how it's starting. And this is very much the design. They wanted a wide assortment of X titles with different styles, tones, approaches. and just basically an X-Men book for anyone. So the first X-Men book will be, I mean, this is the one I'm most excited with because it's Jed MacKay and Ryan Stegman is on the art. What are your immediate thoughts here with this team, Rob? Give me any thoughts here. I'm just very happy to see Gambit. I'm very happy to see Wolverine. I think this is probably going to be my favorite one.
People are going to get pissy with me. And you know what? I don't care because it's my opinion, which makes what I'm about to say bulletproof. I've never been a Gambit guy.
Oh, that's okay. I can't hate you for that.
Well, I mean, God, if that's grounds to hate someone, wow. I know he's a fan favorite for sure. I mean, the way I look at teams like the X-Men, okay, like let's look at these three rosters. Okay, for example, now you're saying the Stegman one.
Yeah.
Very grounded team. Not a huge, like the big powerhouses for sure would be Rogue and Gambit. I'm kind of sad to see that Kurt's back as Kurt and not Spinning Man. I loved the Uncanny Spider-Man run. Wolverine, I mean, always good to have Wolverine on a team. Funny that his long arm costume that people said was the first appearance of his Wolverine and Deadpool one in Women of Marvel. Remember that? Now he doesn't have those sleeves. I wonder will that drop as being a key book?
Yep. Yep.
I mean, like, it's look, the thing too is I look at the I like
so let's go over the team really quick. Hold on.
Nightcrawler, Rogue, Jubilee, Gambit, Wolverine.
Yeah.
I think they're playing it safe. Kind of like the way Jed did with his Avengers run. But Jed's not. Wait, did you say the Jed MacKay team or the?
My apologies. I misspoke. I completely misspoke there. We're looking at the Gail Simone, David Marquez. That is completely my fault. So
no worries.
Nope, completely misspoke. My bad. Sorry to confuse people. The Uncanny X-Men here, which is Gail Simone and Dale Marquez, David Marquez. That's Nightcrawler. That's Rogue, Jubilee, Gambit, and Wolverine. So that is that team, which is probably the team I'm most excited about, but the book I'm most excited about, just because Jed MacKay is writing it, is X-Men.
Yeah, I mean, I would be excited for X-Men because of the creative team. And I've kind of find sometimes that what I do, like if Al Ewing's on a book, I'm going to get it. But then sometimes if I'm not too crazy about the creative team, I would more so get it for the characters involved. So I don't think I'm going to commit to any of these series full time just yet. I mean, the Jed one, you have Juggernaut, which of course would make me get it. You know, I love Juggernaut.
I know you do.
I think it's very interesting to see Magneto in Xavier's chair. But is that Eric? Is it Polaris? Is that actually Charles? We don't know. It's very...
They're making a
point of keeping his head in the shadows. And
very good observation.
And I think they did that too in Timeless. Remember when we did the preview in Timeless? You didn't see his face.
Yeah. Again, it was the helmet. Damn, bro. Now you got me thinking. That's really...
There you go.
That's really crazy.
Magic, yeah. And then the Exceptional X-Men, nobody on that roster would make me want to get it.
Same. I couldn't care less about that roster. I really couldn't. It looks like it's, I mean, based off of, I don't know. I'm really trying to find something to grab onto, but it's Young Mutants. They have to discover, you know, how to work together. It's sort of like Generation X, but it's X-Men. Sorry, go ahead. I cut you off, but.
No. That's kind of the same thing. It's almost like the Marauders of the last line.
Good comparison.
But if I'm being honest, I'm excited that the X-Men are getting such a big platform. Am I like, oh my God, I'm getting some of these books? No, I'm not even a little bit. Because even with Jed MacKay's Avengers, I felt he played it very, very safe.
Yes.
With the roster he picked. I think this roster, I think that's EO up on the side. AO is the one he has up on the side to the left. She was from Generation Hope. And then you have Kwan or Psylocke, Beast, Cyclops, Magic, Juggernaut, Quentin Quire. I've never been a big Quentin Quire guy.
Yep. Okay, that's fair.
I'm not a fan of unwarranted sass constantly. But I don't know. I think it's great to see the X-Men kind of coming out the gate. But am I pulling any of these books right away? No. I'm interested to see the Wolverine creative team for sure.
Yeah, me too. Me too. There's a lot of rumors of who that's going to be. And it looks like...
Because you said Donny Cates. You think it's going to be Donny Cates.
No, no. Greg Capullo, because he's basically spoiled it on his Instagram that he was writing it and drawing it? No, just drawing it. The rumor is that Saladin Ahmed is going to be doing the writing. That's the rumor.
Ah. Oh, yes. Okay. I thought I must have been when we were talking.
So we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
I mean, X-Force maybe too. What will that team look like? You know, I can't see an X-Men book now without Deadpool being on it. And I really think would fit on would be X-Force.
I could see him leading it. Because I think Marvel has complete trust in the Deadpool movie. I could see him freaking leading it, maybe co-leading it with Cable. I think Deadpool's going to be a big staple character coming up.
Like in Cable and Deadpool, that's what they did. They kind of ran that paradise for a while. And I mean, who knows? Like it's they didn't give us a lot. We did see actually that trailer.
Yeah.
There was you could see, I think it was Charles. He was walking with crutches. Persephone. Do you remember Persephone?
I don't, but I've read comics with her before. Please go ahead.
So basically, years ago, Marvel killed Wolverine and he was gone for much longer than anybody thought he would be.
Yeah.
And then they started to bring the hunt for Wolverine and the return of Wolverine. So eventually we got Logan back and it was masterminded by this big, you know, mysterious clandestine person called Persephone. And that was her only appearance.
Could
control the dead. And then she disappeared.
Dude.
She never came back.
Good memory. I remember this now. Damn.
Yeah. So I hope it because I really love the introduction of new characters. Okay. And it's not a case of getting those keys before they blow up. It's a case of with villains, and we've definitely touched on this a lot before, less is more. And the more new villains you can bring in, the further you can go. You know, you can only have it revealed to be Mojo so many times. You can only make Magneto go bad and go good again. You can only reveal the Shadow King so many times. It can only be Apocalypse so many times.
Yeah.
You know, and the X-Men, pretty much a lot of their major villains. Now I'm talking about not the individual mutant villains, the villains of the team have ended up being good guys. Yeah. Like in Krakoa,
that's
they were working with them.
That's very
Sebastian
true.
Sebastian Shaw, Celine, Destiny, Mystique, all of them
have
technically become X-Men. You know?
Yeah, they technically have. And it's that's the thing. It's always a revolving door around these characters. Just going back to X-Force, I mean, X-Factor really quick. Dude, probably an unpopular opinion, but I loved the original X-Factor comic where it was just the original five X-Men. If it was me, I would love to see that. It's not going to be, obviously, but I would.
So for the people who maybe haven't read the initial run of X-Factor, it was the original X-Men, the original five, masquerading as mutant hunters. And basically they would capture the mutants, but then save them. If there's any time for them to pull off that gimmick again, it would be the post-Krakoan era. Because honest here, Orcus are waging a war of social media, right? So even if it outright comes out when it does, like Ben Urich basically shows everybody for what they are, there are going to be people who still believe Orcus. So this is the time and the status quo to allow the original X Factor. You know, they tried the private investigating
the idea
again
of
in Krakoa. Yes, exactly. You know, I mean, you can go back to those things. And it got me excited.
You definitely can.
The logos,
The logos excited me. And I'm really excited, honestly, that Storm and Phoenix, I'd love to see them on a series. But they're getting their own series. They're getting their own personal adventures. And I think both of those characters are going to be... No? What are your thoughts?
No. See, this is the thing. I love that they're getting their own titles. But yes, the problem here, and I've said this before, it's about supporting your own ongoing is to do with the villains you have.
Yeah.
And let's say the Human Torch cannot support his own ongoing series. Mr. Fantastic, Invisible Woman, they can't. Yeah. Hawkeye never did.
No.
Hawkeye never did. It's because, you know, they have their fans, but they're not Spider-Man level fans.
Right.
So if they get their own series, I hope it's minis and they're leading a team.
I bet and these are going to be ongoings. I bet they are, dude.
Well, then I hope they work hard to like really give them, because, and it's even like Shang-Chi, his last ongoing, they really tried. They built out his world. They gave him new villains.
Yeah.
But it didn't work. It didn't work because the villains weren't compelling. You know, so no. I hope if they are ongoing that they can keep it going. Keep it going past 10 issues. You know,
keep like it going past 10. Past 12, honestly. And,
you know?
And speaking of that, that's a perfect segue into what I wanted to talk about. When Ryan Stegman posted that today, as we record this, it's March 15th, he said, new era for the X-Men's coming. You know, I'm going to be doing this with Jed McKay. I commented on my personal account. And this was 7 hours ago from our recording right now. And it already, it has 23 likes and it has a comment on it.
Boom.
And it said, all I said was, are you going to be on it for more than like 5 to 6 issues? Marvel has a tendency now to reveal big name artists on ongoings like yourself. And then by issue 10, they're nowhere to be seen. Mm-hmm. And then someone commented under me and said, at Nick Ritchie 77, this 100%. I'll be waiting to see how it unfolds after 10 to 12 issues to see rather than someone else. I'd rather someone else do the art consistently and have Ryan do covers as he's earned that right, like Alex Ross. I kind of disagree with 50% of his comment. I 100% obviously agree with mine. I'm just tired of Marvel putting these books out. You know, it's not like... Do I have a point here? What are your thoughts on this?
Yes, you do have a point, but it's kind of, it's the nature of the industry at this stage, man.
It is.
Like people, even let's say we spoke about it a few weeks ago, we don't want to pay $5 for every single book.
Yeah.
But you have an industry now where I would liken it to, let's say back in the day, there was WCW, there was WWE, right? That was the only choice wrestlers had to go to make big money.
Yeah.
Now you don't even have to look in that direction. You can make a 6-figure income on the indie scene as yourself.
Yeah.
Comic book artists can do that now. They can go to Image. They can go to Clover. They can go to Skybound. They can go to any of those. And they make more money than Marvel pays them. So yeah, it's a case of, you know, if they're like, well, okay, we'll give you this much. And that's just the way it is. I don't think it's a case of Marvel trying to like pull a bait and switch. It's just that, you know, it's a changing industry. You don't have long tenures anymore. Because even look at, let's say, I love that adjectiveless. There we go.
Yes.
Series of Spider-Man. But I didn't want to pay $5 an issue just because Mark Bagley was drawn it. But that's why.
Yeah,
that's why it was, because it was that name.
Yeah, you might be right. You probably are right. I just
no, but I get where you're coming from. I absolutely get what you see. It's just
it's frustrating. Case of
it is frustrating, and I mean, I'm trying to. I have found I get mad about stupid shit in the long run. So I'm trying to look at it in different ways.
No, I like and this. I like say, what you're saying.
But because I would say, and look at it this way: is that you may pick up X-Men for Ryan Stegman, right?
Yes. Yes.
And then Ryan, let's say, takes a 3-issue break from between issues 10 and 13, and there's a fill-in artist, some young Stormbreaker, and you're like, whoa, I like this guy's art.
Yeah.
And then the next thing, you're introduced to some, because you're expecting Stegman, and you see Mansteg. You're like, whoa, Mansteg's really good. I never would have picked up this book. And it's a good way of introducing newer artists.
That's true.
But yeah, I mean... It is at times a bait and switch. It's not kind of, you know, it's like getting to a concert or bill to be confirmed on the night.
I see you know, what you're saying. That's a really good model of comparison. I agree. And another question I have for you about this X-Men relaunch that I really like is that it's taking place in all corners of the globe. Their main headquarters is in Alaska. However,
the greenhouse.
Say again.
Is that what it's going to be? The greenhouse, because that's where X-Force set up shop, wasn't it?
That's true. No, that's true. So we have
Cape Pride. North Pole. Sorry.
Oh, North Pole. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. No, you're good. You're good. We have, who is it? Cape Pride. Her team of new X-Men is going to be in Chicago. We have Wolverine's team there in the Big Easy, which you know, as we know, is New Orleans. And then I forget where the other book is. I'm trying to remember where the heck it is. Maybe it doesn't even have a place of it. All I'm getting at here is I kind of like how it's spread out a little bit. What are your thoughts on that? It's not just New York.
I've always liked that. I'm putting together a video on the first Contest of Champions series. And one thing that I really enjoy about that is the introduction of new global characters.
Yeah.
You know, it's that, like, if there's mutants worldwide, okay, help the mutants that are worldwide. They're not all in New York. But it's like, this is the thing, too. I think it's a bold move. It's ambitious. I'm glad they're doing it, because I think we said this last week. Anytime a hero uproots and goes someplace else, the book doesn't last long, because people want crossovers. They want New York. Yeah. They want them to see him involved in Spider-Man. But I think this is an ambitious and good move that needs to be made, that the X-Men can be anywhere.
Yeah.
Because they have the technology. Oh, yep. Like, Spider-Man can't be anywhere. The guy web swings. He doesn't have the spider jets, you know?
Yes. 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 Yeah, I completely agree. Maybe that's why, you know, they have Magic, who's a teleporter on the X-Men series by Jen McKay. Maybe they don't friggin' have a base. We'll see. I was excited for that aspect, though, and I can't wait to see how they all kind of come together in this way. Another quick question thing I have for you. Yeah, go. Yeah, what's up?
Sorry. Just to say that, did you read Ghost Rider Final Vengeance?
I didn't. So I have a friend visiting from LA. So I haven't had the chance to get my comics this week. I'll probably get them.
I'm going to shut up then. I'm not going to say words.
Shit. Can you just tell me if you liked it or not? Damn.
I loved it.
Oh man, I was hoping you would say that.
I was excited. This that good. Is now
you and I love the Hood too, so I'm excited.
Now, I will say this. I do think it takes place after Bloodhunt, because solicits for the second issues of all the tie-ins just dropped before we jumped on this call. And it is Johnny and Danny Ketch that are with Blade and Midnight Suns.
Okay.
So Final Vengeance must be taking place afterwards.
Okay. Okay. That's fine.
For you continuity aficionados out there.
Which is us. At us.
Yep.
Just the two of us. That's actually good to know. I'm glad you loved it. I can't, you know, I've been dying to read this. So I'm glad you loved it.
I was enjoying it. Oh. I took my time and it was just, let me know.
Okay. I can't wait. Any other thoughts on Expo? I just could keep going talking about the X. I'm really excited. I got something for you actually really quick. Do you think that, do you think that, what's the over under here that Tom Brevoort got orders to make this in line with maybe what we'll see with MCU X-Men? You saying totally unrelated? What are your thoughts? Anything?
Realistically, synergy between the movies and the comics doesn't work. You can't. You can maybe put in some characters that are going to show up in the movies.
Right.
But I think it's more so they're getting the X-Men are getting the push that they so rightly deserve.
I agree.
That people become more aware of them. Do I think everybody should be going, this is going to be in the movie. This is going to be in the movie. No.
Yeah.
I really don't. I mean, look at every Marvel draws from the obscure, like the bottom. And with the X-Men, you have that. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Maggot was one of the people that ended up in the X-Men movies.
Yeah, honestly,
there is no way to. I mean, I would personally kind of in. I mean, no, I don't think, because I honestly don't think that movies translate to comic book sales. I don't think they do, because the Guardians of the Galaxy have not been able to hold. The longest running issue they had, I believe, was volume 2. Yeah. And Bendis behind the wheel couldn't get it past 20 whatever. I think it made it to 30. So that's the thing. It doesn't translate. I mean, it's good to get people in the know, and you know, but I don't think so.
Yeah, let's see.
But there was one thing, just one last thing about the X-Men thing, because we move on. Major X. I want to see someone else give us a go at Major X.
Oh, dude, you're joking, right? I'm ready to end the episode right now. Why? He was horrible. He was a horrible character,
but
dude.
This is the thing. Was he horrible?
Yes.
The Sentry was horrible at first. People hated the Sentry. Now the people love the Sentry.
Why do you want to see Major X?
Because I do. I like his design, man.
I have never seen a positive comment on Major X besides you, actually.
Well, there you go. Maybe I'm just the exception.
I guess you are. I guess you are.
It was a fantastic moment for me. I don't know. I just kind of think it was, you know, there's a lot of fun. He could be the modern day Bishop if they did it properly.
You know? I'm just going to let you live in your own little world on that one, Rob.
I'm just saying, from a different timeline, he's got to find something else. You know, he has ties to current X-Men. He'll be like, buddy, I have no idea who you are. You know, but anyway, yes, okay, let's move on.
No, I appreciate you saying that. It's just such a it's an unpopular opinion, but it's your opinion nonetheless.
Well,
so
it's
I'm glad
it's
you brought
half
it up.
My show, and it's
it
my
is.
Opinion.
It is,
and I'm
absolutely
allowed to say it. So
100%,
y'all,
100%.
Hit me up. Anybody out there who likes Major X, you comment. You don't be afraid of Nick and his posse. You comment, and I'll send you a Rambling Rob sticker. God.
Wow.
But you have to put it beside you giving a thumbs up beside a Major X picture. Like, you have to prove that you like Major X, and I will send you a sticker.
I honestly, you said, you just talking about Major X is actually, I'm glad you did it now, because it sparked a really good point about the current X line. I liked Immortal X-Men, Rob, that was out for the Krakoan era.
Amazing.
But it was a little hard to follow at times. And I think that if there's one thing I had to say about the Krakoan era, is that there were some books, like the Cy Spurrier books, you know, most things I would say written by who wrote Immortal X-Men? I'm pulling a blank right now, please.
Kieran Gillen.
It was hard to follow, man. It was hard to follow. I really want to see this be more streamlined. I really do.
See,
please.
Yes, the thing with Immortal X-Men, and I think we've probably touched base on this outside the show, is that it was a storyline, kind of a storyline introducer. Like, if you look at the first issue where Destiny talks about all her predictions, this story was tied into the foundation of Krakoa. This was the Krakoan book.
Yes.
That's what Immortal X-Men was. It is tied completely into the era of Krakoa. It's not like but realistically, even objectively, the X-Men have always had that. The X-Men books are not easily accessible.
They're not,
man.
You gotta
be
in
from the start. And they never have been.
And I hope Tom Brevoort fixes that.
But it's a tough thing to do. Like, but I get, like, with kind of new seasons, if you will. Let's put it this way. New seasons. Not relaunches.
Yes. Yeah.
Like a new season.
Yeah,
so with this season
it.
From the Ashes, that's a good way to do it. You know, like, you can acknowledge what has gone before, and you can also check out Ramblin' Rob's videos to make sure you get up to date. Oh, look at that plug. But I think it's Immortal X-Men. It was definitely a traditional X book because you had to be in it from the get-go.
Yeah.
Even if you read X-Men number 1 from 91, holy Jesus. Like, that
wasn't
easy.
On
point. It still acknowledged everything that had gone before.
Which is good. Because, you know, we have it one way, we complain. We have it another, we complain. It's right.
But yeah, you have to look at the business model too. Like, fans and people who don't want the print of comics to die, that means there has to be sales.
Yeah.
But if you have it so tied in continuity, and someone goes to pick up issue 942 And that's the big number. Like, that's why I love that Marvel put in the legacy numbering.
Right.
Because people are distracted by the big number, which is maybe number 3, but then you have legacy 802.
Yeah.
You know, it's because, like, okay, this is a continuation. The new volume is the new season. But yeah, I think X-Men as a whole is very, it's not new reader friendly. You have jumping on points. But when they, like, let's say Cable, give me a Cable book that is an easy jumping on point.
Right. Yep. That's a very, very, very good point. That's a very good point. And that's what I liked about Jerry Dugan's Cable, was that it, but, you know, I don't know. It also kind of took the Cable out of Cable, if you know what I mean. Like, it was way easier to read because he was a kid.
It was Kittle.
He wasn't
Cable. He was Kittle.
And honestly, too, I'm gonna steer this conversation in a different way, still staying on the topic of hard to follow. I really need to ask you this, and people might light me up for just being a dumbass here, but please, just tell me if I'm onto something here. Is the current Thor series really hard to read, dude? By Al Ewing?
Hold on. So I will say this. Because I'm reading Venom, and they've explained where that carnage came from.
Okay.
Okay. They basically put this issue 2 issues before that Venom one. But anyway, is that it will all be revealed in time, is what I've learned with Al Ewing's thing. It is confusing right now because it's involving, let's say, it's very meta with the rights, you know, and I think it's,
Go ahead.
No, go on.
Yeah. I was going to say the plot, which is what you're right about, but I was also going to say, like, the dialogue is so Shakespearean. I have to reread so many speech bubbles.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, the thing is, too, there's people who like Thor being like that, some people who don't. Let's look at, let's say, Thor the Dark World and Thor Ragnarok. People were pissy that Thor in the Dark World, like, spoke, you know, Shakespearean. Then they were pissed that he wasn't speaking Shakespearean in Ragnarok. So it's like, it's kind of what iteration of the character you like. It's, but Shakespearean is tough to read, you know.
I took a whole class in college on Shakespeare, and, like, it was hard to read, and I haven't felt that way since reading this Thor book. Like, it's hard. I'm just wondering if you had the same struggle. I would use the word struggle.
I would just say, if anything, you just gotta ask yourself to read or not to read. That is the question.
And on that subject, we will move on. I think it is that simple, my friend. I agree with you. I think it is that simple. I do. So here's to hoping that X-Men is more streamlined. That would be my one ask, probably, out of all of this. More streamlined. And I'm excited. And the one book that, again, just to state my opinions here, I'm very excited for the Adjectiveless X-Men book by Jed MacKay. And my book that I'm excited about that is, you know, incoming X books of Phoenix, X Factor, Storm, NYX, X Force, and Wolverine. The book that I'm really excited for, I would say most of all, is probably Wolverine right now, Rob, just because I think we got that reveal from Greg Capullo that he's doing interiors, and I've been waiting for this, and I think he's going to be excellent on Wolverine. So that's my take. I think that I'm just very excited. I'm like 4.5 out of 5 on the hype meter excited.
Look, X-Men has never been the biggest thing to me. I jump in and I jump out. Let's hope it's good, you know, and I'm sure it will be. If you look at, like, the Spider-Verse, it did pretty well, like Avengers. Marvel are good at doing this. Kind of franchise thing. Now the Avengers have taken a step back a bit, but now it's definitely the X-Men's time for sure. Now
it is.
I want to throw something at you. Shang-Chi, I mentioned him with his villains. There's a rumor that even if he's getting a second movie, that it's going to be Iron Fist, right?
I heard now, this rumor.
I'm going to tell you right now, Iron Fist as a whole is not a character who should have been Danny Rand. And I think the move to put Iron Fist as Lin Lei, the Sword Master, was the best thing anyone could have ever done. Because it makes more sense. So if they are introducing him, either make it Colleen Wing is the Iron Fist or make it Lin Lei. That's, I don't want Finn Jones back. Well, even taking out, in my opinion, his abysmal performance, he was really annoying. And I'm pretty sure monks are
annoying. Holy
like
shit.
Monks are very strict, you know, and like wouldn't accept any of that stuff. How can you be that whiny and bitchy if you're raised by monks being super strict to like, you know, be a living weapon?
And he was also an idiot too in that scene.
Was so fucking stupid.
Yeah, wasn't he?
I don't have any shoes or any clothes, but I'd like the keys to my company, please.
Yeah.
Prove who you are. No. Idiot.
It was weird. You know, it was a bad series. But I did see that, and I hope to see Iron Fist to some capacity. I mean, look, I'm not like a huge Iron Fist fan, but look, if they have plans for him, let's see.
But what do you think of my point about the opportunity here with this? It would
agreed.
Be to write. I personally think, like, let's say a white dude never should have been Iron Fist.
Yeah.
It's steeped in like Asian culture and folklore and stories and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, that's... it was in the and I'm not like, I'm not like, the thing is, I get it. And I'm not like being,
I was going to say what you're
towards Danny Rand or anything.
No, no.
But it's just the case. It makes more sense for
what you're
to be
saying,
the
though,
newer Iron
is
Fist.
What you're saying, though, is the compelling thing behind Iron Fist, though. He landed in the city. Well, I'm pulling a blank on the name of the city. Rob, help me. But thank you. He landed in Kun Lun. He's a white kid. You know, he like it shouldn't have happened,
yeah,
but he's there.
No,
like that is kind of the
and
thing.
I
but
this, yeah, and I do think like just kind of us having this back and forth about it. The saving grace of a character like Iron Fist is that there have been Iron Fists since the dawn of time.
Yes.
So it's not.
Yes.
You can't like let's say to me, there's one Spider-Man. Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
Yeah. Fair enough.
That to me, that's who that is. But when you have like Ghost Riders, you have Star Brands, you have Gods of Thunder, you know, you have a legacy mantle, which is Iron Fist. It can be anybody.
Very fair.
So nobody can say like, oh, you know, it's wokeism. No, it's not. If you read Jason Aaron or Matt Fraction's run, like the Deadly Hand, the Immortal Weapons.
Yep.
Look at it. Even Jason Aaron's Avengers, there have been so many Iron Fists. So before you people, and it's just the thing of before people start throwing shit, do your homework. Then see if you still want to throw the shit. That's all I would say to people
in
this day and age. Research, then rage. That's what you do.
Research, then rage. And going on the rumor mill here as well, there's reports that Eternals 2 is reportedly on hold. Kevin Feige wants it made, but Bob Iger thinks it's a guaranteed flop. And anyone who's paying attention to Disney lately knows that Bob Iger was basically hired back as the Iron Hammer for movies and the MCU. So he's, you know, I'm going to say this. I actually really enjoyed Eternals 1. I actually did. But if you're going to pick battles, don't pick it for Eternals 2. Kevin Feige, this is not a hill to die on. Save it for something else.
Even taking that lunatic Bob out of the equation, right? What's the longest running issue of an Eternal series? And it's
why do you go to the comic?
But my point is that this is not about, let's say, this guy thinking that representation is what flops a movie or anything like that. Is that just the very basis of Eternals is like a cult classic comic book. They're not a household name and they don't have a legacy of 70 issues under them because people just don't want it. It's just like they're almost like the boring cousins of the Addams Family. And it's the same with the Inhumans. And it's just a case of I wouldn't watch a second Eternals because like I got the Eternals series because of the writer that was on it.
Yes,
I've
too.
Never run out to get the Eternals. I got the one that was built around Civil War because of the Daniel Acuna covers.
They're
just not characters that interest me, and they don't interest people on a mainstream because just some of this like Jack Kirby stuff, even his first Eternals. What was it? 17, 19 issues? Because it was so out there. It was niche-y. So I think if you're going to do an Eternals 2, Do it like Werewolf by Night. Do it as like a once-off special.
I see. Okay.
You know, do it so, like, not everything has to be, not like as much as, God, I love Marvel Comics so much, but not every character warrants a two-hour movie.
Yeah,
he's smart, but like the Werewolf by Night, no way. I watched it because it was an hour.
Yeah, and I loved it. I actually loved Werewolf by Night. I see where you're going.
Chances with this, you know. Yeah, so I would say, you know, like, and I know Iger doesn't have my reasoning behind it. I wouldn't want to see an Eternals 2 because just the characters themselves, they just like, they're another form of Inhumans.
Okay,
you know, like, yeah, that's just enough. What it is,
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. I'm going to stay sort of, we're gonna, two more points that kind of go with this as far as rumors go. This one's a little more substantiated. Giancarlo Esposito, who he stated that him playing Professor X and Denzel Washington as Magneto, quote, would be great. He said this during an interview with the Fade to Black podcast. And we know he's been very vocal to fans talking about his discussions with Marvel Entertainment to play Dr. Doom, Magneto, or Xavier. He has basically boiled down that he's going to play one of those three characters in the MCU. And he's been trying to get Denzel Washington involved as well. I think Esposito is an amazing actor. I would love to see him. They're both
fantastic actors.
Both fantastic. Like, look, yep. This is what the MCU needs is straight, like, killers like this as far as actors goes. I don't mean the characters kill. Just, like, straight dialed-in actors to come in and give an awesome performance. What's
been the strength of the MCU is that they've always hired
actors. That's true, yeah, man. That's a very good point. You know, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, if they nail the audition, do it. But, see, this is the thing. This is the sad thing about being a comic fan, too, is that there are some people who are just going to hammer home that, like, that's not Xavier. That's not Denzel. What, because of the color of their skin?
Oh, no. I know, right?
That just pisses me off
for me
so much. Yeah.
For me, it's about, like, how strong is the actor? Like, if you have a Denzel Washington come in as Magneto, or I honestly,
gravitas of that.
It would be amazing.
And I can never pronounce the other guy's name. Gus as Xavier.
Yeah. And I'm gonna steal the show for a second here. Dude, what if we had Denzel Washington come in? Look, what I'm gonna say is probably gonna hear me out. Just hear me out, everyone listening, please. What if we had Denzel Washington come in as Magneto, but instead of the Holocaust, what if it was like, you know, the civil rights movement? And
amazing.
Like, because you know,
what Magneto represents is the ugliest side of humanity,
right?
And then forcing that rage back outward.
Yeah. And
absolutely, man. That well updates said. It because there's been horrible things like that. And anybody who's like, no, you have just been hit with my friend logic. I've been hit with logic many times. And once you're hit with logic, you can't get back up.
I'm just saying, like, look,
you hit the nail on the head with that, though. That's an amazing point to make.
Isn't that kind of cool? Magneto, like, I'm just saying.
Persecution and rage behind it. And then he becomes persecution.
And I think that's how they've
always stopped him.
Right. You know? Dude, totally. Like, and I think
Maggie, buddy. Look around. Look what you've done.
I think that would be a script Denzel Washington could get behind. And ultimately, if I had to have my way, it would probably still be the Holocaust because I love Greg Pak's Magneto origin. I don't know
Thank God that's what you were saying. I'm like, where is he going with this point? When you said,
No. I still hope
it's the Holocaust. That lead up there scared the shit.
Oh boy! Out of me. Whoa! Oh my God. Easy.
We just took a hard right turn here.
Yes,
that was gonna scare me. But no, I think it is the strength of the actors involved. Absolutely, like that's you know, like yeah, it's these characters are for everyone, and they can mean different things to different people, and it doesn't matter what the color, the skin of the person who plays them. It's about the performance they give. That's what it is.
Yes. Bingo. I'm really glad we talked about this. I loved that. Look, I'm going to go with since we're talking about leaks, rumors, one of the biggest things freaking came out of this past week with the leaked trailer for the canceled multiplayer Insomniac Spider-Man game called Spider-Man The Great Web, which would have been an online multiplayer that you could fight the Sinister Six. I guess that would have been the basic plot. And it would have been the Scarlet Witch who opened portals to get you there. This is crazy.
Right on.
This is crazy. If Insomniac, I don't know why they didn't put it out, but it blows for them that this trailer got leaked, because this is something people have been wanting. I honestly, Insomniac is just so good. I can't knock anything, any decisions that they make yet. They've literally just made straight W's, like as far as the eye can see. Yeah, but
do you not think that
what you're saying, evil marketing scheme? Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
because let's say when Avengers was leaked, like they have, because everybody's excited about that multiplayer Avengers game, and look what happened.
Yeah,
so maybe they have to do it a different way, you know?
Well, I know, but this is Insomniac, though, who made those super successful Spider-Man games. So, it's just different. There's a lot of hype behind it. Like, Insomniac, and they have that Wolverine trailer. I mean, the Wolverine game coming out, and there was a leak on that, which came out this past week, which was just a little bit of gameplay. But, I don't know. Ultimately, I think Insomniac should just focus on what they want to do. I love the company. I think that they treat their people pretty well, and I think that they treat the fans very well. So I want to see good things come out of this, and I don't know. Maybe, who knows? Maybe the hype will lead to a game down the future with multiplayer. I don't know, but I do know that they're hard at work on Spider-Man 3. So let's see where that goes. I'm excited. Something that I'm not excited about, going to flip the script here, is Venom 3 will now have a release date of October.
Oh, my God.
October 25th. Or like
the last fucking dance. Like, look.
Yeah. It's been titled Venom the Last Dance.
Venom get the tone of film that it's turned into?
Oh, God.
I don't understand.
It's horrible.
And Venom cannot exist without Spider-Man.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. Yeah.
And did I enjoy Let There Be Carnage? Yes. It would have been the most successful superhero movie of 1998 if it came out then. But Sony just seems stuck.
They really suck. And interestingly enough, Tom Hardy actually revealed the title of this film 2 years ago when he took a picture of the script. I'm just glad this is the last dance. I really am. Like, at this point, I'm just like,
get Venom to the MCU. Like, at this
just
point,
get him in. Just
Sony
get him in. My
needs
God.
Cut their losses, and do the agreement they had with Spider-Man, because
just
it's just
get
like
him in.
It's. Yeah, you know, that's what, because they're trying to get their piece of the pie, but they're spoiling the entire pie, because people are like,
they don't care.
This is dog shit.
Yeah, they don't care. They're in this for money, and it's been crystal clear from the start, and Marvel Entertainment has done well because.
But their most successful Spider-Man movie, or the one that grossed the most, is the ones released through Disney.
Exactly. Exactly, man. It's like telling a little kid that like 2 + 2 = 7 is like what is the math that Sony's following to keep their movies and their franchises going. And now we have Kraven coming out, and that's gonna bomb.
God, Kraven. I go, boy, I'm Kraven. You're like, you want to know what they call me, the Rhino? You know, like, because I got a big horn. Like, what?
I know. Oh, I know. It's just sake. Insane. It's insane. It's
like,
insane.
Why did they introduce Kraven in Black Panther? You know, like, come on.
Yeah.
No
brainer. They should have.
Yeah.
Crazy. Something else I want to say, too, is it looked like, and I just thought this was funny. I don't know. I just thought it was worth mentioning. Don Cheadle won an AACP Image Award for his performance in Secret Invasion. This event celebrates the outstanding achievements and performances of people of color across all 80 competitive categories of television, streaming, music, literature, podcast, etc. I was actually laughing because, number one, this show had so many issues. It was unwatchable. This show had so many issues Don Cheadle wasn't one of the issues, but he won Best Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Limited TV Program. I actually like Don Cheadle a lot, but this show was so bad. I don't even think Marvel would want this press for people to just go watch it. It was that bad, and I don't know. I laughed when I saw it. I don't know. I really don't have any other thoughts on that. You have anything to add there, Rob?
I didn't even watch the intro to Secret Invasion. I sound like a real Negatron. I just don't care anymore. I love getting my comics every Wednesday. I love seeing what's going on there. That's what I get excited about. Like next week, we get that big Web of Spider-Man anthology issue, which is leading up all the Spider-Man stories for the next year. And I am so excited about that. I don't care of the MCU announcements. I just love the comic announcements. That's what gets me excited.
Fair enough.
But I do love talking about them. Like I want Marvel, prove me wrong. Turn me around. Turn me 180. Like get me to come back. Get me back home.
Yeah. Get me back home. Yeah. I kind of feel that way right now. One of the last things that we have to talk about, which I thought was very interesting, is that X-Men 97, which comes out 5 days from where we're recording right now, the creator and executive producer, Bo DeMeo, he was fired right before the series premiere. He worked on Moon Knight. He worked on Blade. He will no longer be promoting the show or moving forward with future seasons. And he already did work for season 2. He was fired, deleted his Instagram account right after being fired, and just now made it active again, but took down a ton of photos. He only has like 8 on there. This is all still kind of developing. Disney refuses to comment. You know, a lot of things can happen behind the scenes. We don't know what happened. It just came out of nowhere. Just thought it was interesting right before the announcement. Or right before the release. I don't know. Any thoughts on this here, Rob?
I mean, you know me. I like to see what the official statements and stuff are. I mean, it's a case of obviously something went on behind the scenes. Like, it's a case of I'm a huge Slipknot fan. They fired their drummer of 10 years out of nowhere because of creative differences. And
yeah,
we don't. The other guy, apparently it was blind. You know, he didn't see it coming.
We don't know until they release it.
I mean, there could have been leaks. There could have been, you know, inappropriate behavior. There could have been contractual, you know, like, voids of contracts, or what's the word I'm looking for? When breaking contracts, you know, stuff. We have no idea. You know, did he leak some images? You know, who knows? Are they cutting costs? Is he a cost cutting measure?
Yeah, who knows?
Too expensive?
Who knows? I agree. You never know. You never know. And it's actually unlike, like honestly, like Disney to kind of do this without stating anything. So I'm not giving anyone the benefit of the doubt here. It's just interesting. It's just very interesting.
The timing is weird for sure. He did something truly fucked up that really damaged his career, or like, you know, because, but again, it's getting people talking about the show.
It is.
Like who knows? Do you remember James Gunn was fired and then rehired 6 months later? You're like, in this day and age, you don't know till you know.
Something we do know, though, and this is one of the last points we have for our pop culture news here, is that John Bernthal posted on Instagram Monday, March 11th, a post of the book One Batch, Two Batch with no caption. Really exciting, because we all know what this means.
Oh, my God.
All know what this means.
He'll bring me home.
Yeah.
That is the key. Best casting.
He is currently shooting scenes for Daredevil Born Again.
He could pull off Frankencastle.
Oh, you're talking Rick Remender's Frankencastle. Okay.
Yes, I am.
I don't think they'd ever do that to him though, because like
my point is if someone could, he could.
Okay. Yeah.
If someone could really make that like, oh my God, have you seen this thing? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, I'm
and
just
for
very...
those of you saying, who's Frankencastle? Well, make sure to check out my shorts on Rambling Rob YouTube.
Ah, there we go. The shameless plug. I think that's the third one. There we go. More to come, everyone.
Yep. More to come.
I'm really excited for this. I don't know any human being alive that isn't. You know, he only said he'd come back.
The Bill isn't that excited about it. You know, you don't know any human being alive.
Well, his time's coming. His time's coming. His time's coming.
Oh, God.
Look, that's basically all the news we had. This was an action-packed week. I'm really glad we got to break it down for you all, and hopefully you had an awesome time listening. Rob, any last thoughts before we head
episode.
Out? An exceptional episode. Truly.
Any last thoughts? If a Transformer tells you they need to go to a doctor or a surgeon, do you bring him to a mechanic or an engineer?
I'm going to say engineer. And I'm going to think about this through the weekend. I'm going to say engineer, but that's just me.
Like, you know, like mechanic and engineer, you don't bring to a doctor. The doctor's going to do because they're a car. But yes, that's my last thought. Nick, it's always a pleasure to do this with you. Guys and gals and everyone who's been listening, thank you. Make sure to follow us, subscribe, Geekable on our Instagram, even mine if you want, Rambling Rob on YouTube and Instagram. Let us know your thoughts, any topics you want to hear our opinion on. Shoot us a message. We're always happy to hear from our fans.
Absolutely. Rob, you said it best. Thank you so much, everyone. We will see you next week for more news, for more updates, for more excitement. Have a great rest of your week. Thank you, everyone, and take care.
Bye, everyone.